Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Psalms, and we're reading from chapter 54, beginning with verse 1, and we'll be reading responsively. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies, and in your faithfulness put an end to them. With a freewill offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Our gospel scripture reading for today is found in the New Testament book of John. We're reading from chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the gospel word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Again, welcome and good morning, everyone. Those who are here at Emmanuel, those who may be near to Emmanuel listening in FM 88.1, those who may be tuning into our podcast or our YouTube channel and our website, God's grace and peace be with you in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, today we kick off our fall learning event called You Are Never Alone, a book by Max Lucado. And it looks good as I've getting into it here now. And through the years, Max has been my preacher. That's who I go to hear the gospel, the amazing news of God's love for me. But he's been my preacher. He's very gifted. He gets the gospel, and he communicates it so well. So I look forward to learning with you through this study. There's always something to learn, and we are lifelong learners as disciples of Jesus. Well, in the study, we'll be traveling through a number of miracle stories that are in the Gospel of John. And if you haven't read the Bible much, not sure where to begin, read the Gospel of John. It's a great place to begin. It tells the story so that you may believe and with that have life, abundant life, here and now and in the life to come. Okay? So, to get things started, we have a story, a miracle, as it is recorded in John chapter 2. Jesus turning water into wine. And it makes me think of the story, once a priest was stopped by a police officer for speeding. As the police officer came closer to the priest, he smells alcohol on the priest's breath and then sees an empty wine bottle on the floor of the car. So the police officer says, "Sir, have you been drinking?" "Just water," says the priest. Well, the police officer says, "Then why do I smell wine?" The priest looks at the bottle and says, "Oh, good Lord, he's done it again. A miracle. A mystery. I think a lot of us do like mysteries of sorts, getting some clues, putting pieces together, solving a puzzle, as it were. Well, today in the story we have from John's Gospel, as we begin our study, we have clues or pieces or connections to the bigger story that John is telling in the Gospel. One of the reasons John's Gospel is a thing is, on the one hand, you can read it, and on the surface it tells a great story, it works. And on the other hand, the more you dig, the more layers that you start to peel away, there's more intriguing connections one finds beneath the surface. So with that in mind, let's go new connections that are in this story. And I think my battery is going to start to go out here, so I'm going to turn off here. Either that or you're trying to mute me upstairs, Tim, so that's been known. So let's look at some neat connections that are here in the story today. First, our section of the story begins with the phrase, on the third day. Well, on the third day of what? In John's story, it was the third day after John pointed to Jesus, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus will be the Lamb of God, a sacrifice on a cross. And of course, on the third day after his death, what happens? Resurrection. So on the third day, that little phrase as a clue to the bigger story that John is telling. Another connection. The setting is a wedding. Okay, and back in the day, a wedding or marriage was a 12-step thorough process. I won't get into that now. Other to say that a typical wedding feast lasted about 7 days. So we're talking lots of food, we're talking lots of wine. And a wedding banquet is an image that Jesus uses to describe the bigger story, the kingdom of heaven, if he compares it to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. In Revelation, we have an image of the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus being the bridegroom, and we, the church, being the bride of Christ. This thing that God has going on with us in the bigger story of things is compared to a wedding, a marriage. So when Jesus is at this wedding, that's another connection for John in the bigger story he's trying to tell. Another connection, wine, okay? The story goes about a woman and a man in separate cars, and they crash together. They both walk away, and the woman says, you know what? This is fate. We're meant to be together. And the man says, well, okay, cool. So the woman says, well, to celebrate, to mark this occasion, let's break open this bottle of wine I have in the back seat. The man says, okay. So the woman serves the man the wine, and the man drinks his, and she isn't. And he says, aren't you having some wine? And the woman said, no, I'll wait for the police to arrive. Smart woman. Wine was a common, normal beverage with meals in the Bible. Also a sign of the arrival of God's kingdom, a new age. Not just any wine, but fine wine, aged wine, and lots of it. The prophet Isaiah talks about when God finally destroys death. He says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. So Jesus not only makes well-aged wine, but lots of it. If we had to bottle all those things in those containers, it would be about 768 bottles of wine he made, a sign of God's new age. And of course, later in the story, Jesus celebrating Passover, the eve before his death. Of course, bread, this is my body. Wine, this is my blood. shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. So wine is a sign. It points us to the bigger story that John is telling. And notice the containers for the wine. Another connection. Containers used for water, for ritual washing and cleansing, making clean, for purification. Containers are now filled with wine. Another connection to the bigger story. The wine and the blood of Christ washes away our sin, makes us clean, sins as white as snow, pure purification. And the Bible tells us that it was good wine, meaning expensive wine. And again, a connection to the bigger story. There is going to be a great cost, a sacrifice. The beloved only Son of God, crucified on a cross, his blood shed for you. So this little portion of the story has all kinds of connections. Third day, wedding, feast, wine, purification containers that connect us to the bigger story of Jesus in John. Well, one little more connection. Mary says, do whatever he tells you. So what does Jesus tell us to do in the bigger story? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Believe in the one God has sent, Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Do what he tells you to do. Another little connection, a huge connection for the bigger story of the living out of our lives. So, what about our study this week? What about prayer? That's kind of the focus for this week. And there's a bit about prayer here in the story, kind of ordinary, in the ordinary days of our lives. Ordinary things. Hey, we're out of wine. But Mary, she sees the need, goes to Jesus, tells him about it, and lets him work it out. Okay, so there's prayer woven in this story. And prayer is the connection to the bigger story of God in our lives. A God who's alive, a God who is alert even to the ordinary stuff in our days, a God who seeks to answer prayer in you and through you, and to remind you, you are never alone. When Jill and I were first married, we moved to Anchorage, Alaska. And during the course of our time there, my mother was widowed, and then she met my stepdad, Glenn. And so they got married, and they didn't need two cars anymore. They had his car, and Mom had her car. And so Mom, they decided to give us the car. And so problem is, I'm in Alaska, and the car is in Minneapolis, okay? So I fly down to Minneapolis to pick up the car and drive it straight back. And by this time, I had driven the Alcan once or twice, so I was not there to be a tourist. I was just there to get that car back to Anchorage. So, long drive. It's 3,500 miles, I think it is. Did it in 3 days. Anyway, so I geared up with a case of Mountain Dew to keep me awake. I drank one. It just put me back to sleep. I had a whole case back in the day of cassette music, and we had a cassette player in the car, and that music put me to sleep. And so my saving grace was sunflower seeds. You always just turn doing something, keeps you awake. So I say goodbye to Mom and Glenn. I see Jill's brother in North Dakota, and I'm making my way up towards Edmonton. And I was alert and awake, and so I just kept going. And we're talking 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you know that part of the world, it's pretty flat and wheat fields everywhere. And nothing else out there. So about 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm driving along and I hit a brake casing from a truck. Didn't even see it. And my driver's front tire went flat. 2, 3 in the morning. What am I going to do? So I prayed. Help! Every ordinary day, ordinary prayer. Help! So I pulled off, and I didn't know the car yet. I didn't know where the spare was. And so again, I cried out, prayer, help. It was probably about 10 minutes Mexico, on one of the gravel roads, which, you know, utility roads, service roads in the area, and it's a motorcycle. And it's a guy on a motorcycle at 3 in the morning in the middle of cornfields, wheat fields, whatever it was. And I'm getting suspicious. I'm going, okay, did God send this person? You know, is this an angel? So he comes to the car, says, can I help you? I said, yeah, certainly. I explained the situation. He said, well, I'll help. I'm glad to help you with that. So with the light of his bike, he gets all the tire changed and swapped out. And I'm just still kind of watching this guy, like, you know, is he real? And I should have looked at his license plate, but I didn't think about that. But during our conversation, I said, so, where do you live? He said, well, it's kind of hard to describe it. It's kind of over there. Okay. So then when he was done, I offered him $20. I said, can I give you some money for your trouble? And he says, well, you know, where I live, that really isn't helpful at all. And it made me wonder, you know, I think I was visited by an angel. His name was Mark, and he drove a motorcycle. But God answered that prayer out in the middle of a cornfield or wherever the field it was, help. And God is in the prayer answering business even for ordinary things. A flat tire? Some wine gave out? What is it? It's an ordinary day. Prayer is the connection to the bigger story of God in our lives. A God who is alive, who is alert to the ordinary stuff in our days. So this week, a lesson about prayer. In the ordinary stuff. If you see a need, you take it to Jesus and let him work it out in the best way, in the best time.